thought we normally say more than that, but anyway, got here quick. Rob had asked me about 2 months ago if I'd be part of the speaking series on Sunday nights, and I told Rob that I was more of a listener than a talker, but I guess that didn't go very well. And anyway, he penciled me in. So for about the last 2 months, it's felt like I've been in the longest car wreck of my life. I've kind of been bracing for impact. So anyway, I guess tonight's the crash. So there you go. Also, in preparing for all this, getting my notes together and trying to get everything together and what I was going to talk about, I think I found the difference, a big difference between a preacher and a speaker, and that may be the amount of notes. I've got lots and lots of notes and things up here, and Tim, I guess I've taken that for granted, but you've done a really good job, and just that you can get up and roll with it, no notes. So, anyway. We'll get to you. So anyway, continuing the summer series of Finding True North, I also thought that, you know, we could have 15 minutes for a moment of silence, and then I could say the lesson's yours and be done with that too, but Rob gave me verses, so I've got to go through them. A few years ago, the Army had an ad campaign. You might wonder why you have these little guys, but it was an ad campaign for the Army of One, and that just, it just always seemed odd. You know, that you've got an army of either one person or one type of person or one position. You know, when you think about the army and, you know, trying to compare that to the church, you think about the body of the church and, you know, all the different parts and everything that you've got to have, you know, that makes up the body. But anyway, the army spent $200 million on that ad campaign. So what they got from that, I don't know. But anyway, it just always seemed odd. And when Mike spoke, you know, for those of you that were here when Mike spoke, he brought a couple of books, and he had the Pick a Path, Choose Your Own Adventure books, and a Magic 8-Ball, but he didn't share with anybody. You know, he just kind of kept them to himself. So anyway, I thought that if I was going to use anything tonight, I had to share with everybody, so that's why everybody's got the little green army men. But wanted to hand those out, make sure that everyone had one. My favorite growing up was the bazooka guy. He was sturdy. He was a good one. I apologize. There weren't many of those in the pack, so I think the two of you are the only two that got the bazooka guy. And I've been a gun guy for a long time, but machine gun guy and the little green army man was not my favorite. You get him out of the pack and the barrel's bent, or, you know, you had the guy that the magazine went straight up and he was trying to aim. That never made much sense to me either. But anyway, bazooka guy was my favorite. But with these, if everyone's got one, who has the minesweeper guy? And I apologize for that. That was my least favorite. The minesweeper guy, you know, he was important. But if you had an army that was just made up of minesweeper guy, you know, nobody would step on a landmine, but, you know, you wouldn't get a whole lot accomplished with him. But, you know, he was important for the overall thing, but if you had just an army of that, it would be bad. Like I said, bazooka guy, you know, he's a good one. He can blow up big stuff. He was fun to play with. I had him blowing up minesweeper guy lots of times growing up, but you know, hard to reload. And, you know, there again, if you've got an army of just bazooka guy, probably not a good thing. Mortar guy, I think Rob got. Yeah, I've got, for those of you that have mortar guy, you know, he can blow up big stuff too, but, you know, it's hard to aim. I always thought you could zigzag and run around what he was doing. But then you get to machine gun guy. You know, like I said, you could do lots with him unless his barrel was bent or he had the weird magazine. But anyway, if you had an army of just machine gun guy, you know, probably not a good thing either. You know, he could step on a landmine if you don't have minesweeper guy. And then second only to minesweeper guy was radio guy. You know, he was another one that got blown up early. But anyway, just thinking about this, you know, I thought that it takes, you know, all these guys, you know, to make up an army. So with that, you know, they're better together. And if you see the blue guy on the end, you can see his barrel's bent, so that's what you got. That's why I didn't like machine gun guy. So, anyway, but like I said, it takes, you know, we're better together, and it takes all of them to make an army. So I just didn't like the army of one. So with that, that brings us to the scripture that we're reading for tonight. It's Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. And these verses give us the characteristics of the early church and the importance of fellowship. I'm going to read that now. Since they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Researching this, there's a William Barclay provides points in these verses. He makes difficult things clear, so I'm going to use some of his points tonight as we go through these verses. And Barclay wrote the Daily Study Bible. But in 42, it talks that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And with that, it was a learning church. It persisted in listening to the apostles as they taught. We should count it a wasted day when we do not learn something new and when we have not penetrated more deeply into the wisdom and grace of God. With that being said, I was just thinking of points to go along with that. And growing up, my grandmother lived with us, which was a good thing. I really enjoyed that, learned a lot from her. But she'd pick us up from school, and when she'd pick us up, she'd always ask, "Did you learn anything today?" And we knew from early on to say yes, and she goes, "Well, then I guess you can go home." So, you know, she wanted to make sure that you always learned something at school. So, you know, with the early church being a learning church, you know, that was important. It was also a church of fellowship. It had what someone has called the great quality of togetherness. With that, you think of fellowship and growing up here at Milton. I've been here my whole life, but with Milton, you know, I remember the carry-in meals, the New Year's Eve parties, the Fifth Sunday scenes, hay rides, Easter egg hunts, just all the good memories of fellowship growing up here and everyone being together. And it was also a praying church. It says that these early Christians knew that they could not meet life in their own strength, and that they did not need to. They always went into God before they went out to the world. They were able to meet the problems of life because they had first met Him. And with that, I'm glad that Milton is a praying church. Also glad to have elders now that pray for the church and that make prayer needs a priority. So I think that's very important that we do that. And thankful, you know, for those elders that continue to pray for the church. And let's see here. In verse 43, it says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. With that, Barclay said that it was a church where things happened. Signs and wonders were there. If we expect great things from God and attempt great things for God, things will happen. With that, I just think, you know, we don't need to be lukewarm. We don't need to halfway do things. We need to attempt great things, and great things will happen. If we go beyond our routines, you know, there'll be growing pains, but, you know, it'll be a good thing for the church, and great things will happen. And we'll also make sure that things are happening for God, which is most important. In verse 44, it says that all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. With that, Barclay said it was a sharing church. These early Christians had an intense feeling of responsibility for each other. You take care of your own and others. If someone's in need, you take care of it. You know, don't wait on someone else to do it. Seek out those that are in need. And I've always been impressed with Milton with that too. We had a neighbor that was in need of a baby bed not too long ago. Elizabeth sent out an email and we had a baby bed. You know, they got that pretty quick. So that's kind of always good to see the church taking care of, you know, its people and others as well. In Verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. With that, Barclay had said that it was a worshiping church. They never forgot to visit God's house. We must remember that God knows nothing of solitary religion. With that, thinking about that verse, you know, I've got friends that hunt. I like to hunt. I like to be in the woods. And, you know, I've heard people say that, well, while I'm in the woods, you know, I pray, and that's my church. That's what I do. You know, which is fine. You know, it's good time for prayer. It's a good time for, you know, just soaking in everything that God's provided. But if you're just there by yourself, you're really not helping others, and, you know, you don't have the group. So, you know, it's a good time for prayer, but you're not helping to contribute to the group. So, you know, I think that it's always important that we remember, you know, the group as well. It was a happy church. It was in verse 46. Gladness was there. A gloomy Christian is a contradiction in terms. With that, we need to lift each other up. Thought that was very Todd-like, Josh. We changed that a little bit. Mike found that slide, but anyway, for those of you that don't know, the Hickeys are huge Disney fans, so Todd's not here tonight, but it was a happy church. Gladness was there. A gloomy Christian is a contradiction in terms. With that, we need to lift each other up. You know, you want to be here. You want to be around those that have things in common with you. As far as lifting each other up, needless to say, I was not very excited about tonight and having to speak. And like I said, the two-month crash. But when Josh found out that I was speaking tonight, I guess this was his way of lifting me up. He says, "Man, don't worry about it." He goes, "Jesus might come back before you have to speak." So I guess the thief in the night thing, I've been thinking about it too long. But anyway, I do appreciate the attempt. And like I said, it's good to lift each other up. And, you know, what we have in common is God. And that's a good thing. So there needs to be gladness in God. We don't need to be gloomy. But rather, we need to be happy. And also, it was a church whose people others couldn't help but to like. Real Christianity is an awesome thing. In the early church, there was a charm about God's people. You know, they were appealing to others. Other people wanted to be around them. People wanted to be a part, you know, of the church. And I think with that, that's how the early church grew. You know, if everybody was just beat down and, you know, and awful and, you know, had their heads hung low, it would have been hard for the early church to grow. But anyway, with that, it was true then, and it's still true and applies today. We can learn from the early church. You know, I think that their example shows us what true north really is. So with that, that was pretty quick, but that's what I have to say with that. When Nathan spoke, he shared with us a little bit, and he had asked that we share some things, thought that would be good while we were speaking. And Nathan had talked about when he was baptized, you know, talking to Teb and what he had done there. And so anyway, that got me to thinking that, you know, I could share my story with that. And it was one Wednesday night. I was here, you know, kind of late, and waited everybody out and talked to Teb. And anyway, I was baptized that night. And Mom and Dad found out when I got home. And like I said, my grandmother lived with us when we were growing up. But the next morning, I was excited to tell her, and went in and told her that I'd been baptized at church last night. She kind of looked at me funny, and she said, "You had fried pies at church last night?" I said, "No, I was baptized at church last night." And again, she said, "Why'd you have fried pies at church last night?" So anyway, with that, that was kind of my story with that. But maybe we'll get Todd to throw in a fried pie request every once in a while with the announcements. But anyway, that's what I've got for tonight. With that, if anyone needs the prayers of the church, just let us know as we stand and sing.